You know, President Obama is a very distracting issue with a lot of people who don't understand that he's been sent by God to destroy apostate Christianity. This is just history repeating. You know, Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so it's not really the president we should battle with, but our own flesh, because it's God. God is behind it all. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And if you read an article on our site called The Sword or the Cross, you see very plainly what God is demanding of us, and that is to go to our cross, deny ourselves, repent, and he will turn all of our worldly fortunes around. History always repeats. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago, in the ages which were before us. So we can always look back into biblical history to see what is coming in our day, and to see whose fault it is when God's people are conquered. So what's being repeated in our day? Well, here's a little history tip, that God uses the eagle to take down his apostate people and to bring them to their cross of death to self. And this, of course, is through repentance and obedience. People don't want to obey the word of God. Their flesh kicking and screaming to keep from doing those things that are against self. But that's the cross. So those who fight against the eagle fight against God, because he's the one that brings the eagle. Hosea 8:1 is a verse that we received in our morning meeting just a few days ago. It says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. As an eagle, he, that is God, cometh against the house of the Lord. Because the house of the Lord is his people, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. So the truth is, it's not President Obama. It's the people that are inviting this judgment to come down. Well, you'll notice from that text that disobedience to the covenant is the reason God ordained this judgment on his rebellious house. And verse 2 says, they shall cry unto me, my God, we Israel know thee. Is that really true? Well, I would say no, obviously not. That was the problem here. Verse 3, Israel hath cast off that which is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Notice that. God raises up enemies when God's people are going the wrong way, which is what the country is doing. He said, they have set up kings, but not by me. False leadership that doesn't know the word of God. How can they be led of God? How can two walk together except they be agreed? They don't agree with God. They're not ordained of God. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols. So these idols, I believe, are the great apostate institutions and their leaders. They'll take their word rather than God's word. They'll sit in front of them rather than sit in front of God. And he says that they may be cut off. They've made these idols so that they may be cut off. He hath cast off thy calf, which is their false Yahweh, Elohim, their false Jesus, who does not demand repentance and faith. O Samaria, he hath cast off thy calf, O Samaria. Samaria reminds you of a people who were settled there after the original inhabitants, who were true Jews, were carried off into captivity They were taught the religion, but they didn't know the God of the religion, and they were not the elect. So that's what Samaria means here. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? This is what God wants. Even more than maturity, innocency. Innocence where you are. So, who was and who is this eagle that God uses to destroy this apostate system of false Christianity? Well, all seven heads of the end time beast, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, and revived Rome of the ten toes or kings of our day. Each of these individually in their time came against God's people in a time of their apostasy or backsliding. Daniel said in Daniel 7 and 12, "And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." Their dominion was taken away when they were conquered by the next kingdom. But how were their lives then prolonged? Because the offspring of all these kingdoms are still with us today in the corporate seven-headed beast of the last 7 years that we now call the UN. It will be the dragon and the beast, seven-head, ten-horned beast. Those are just stages of the same beast. So this corporate one-world beast will once again conquer God's apostate Christian people. I use the word Christian loosely. Let's identify these eagles who conquer God's people. And especially the last one. In Ezekiel 17, two of the heads, Egypt and Babylon, were called Great Eagle. And Babylon is identified in Daniel as a lion with the wings of an eagle. And the lion, of course, could be England, if you take this into our modern day, because these are symbols of modern day nations. And the eagle, of course, the United States. In Daniel 7 and 4, it says, "The first was like a lion," that's the symbol of England, "and had eagle's wings." The eagle is the symbol for the United States. "And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked." Just as we were just recently in our last study, seeing that God is going to separate Britain from America. "I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon 2 feet as a man, and a man's heart given unto it." Well, notice that in our type, that the Lion of England will lose their great air power of the United States Eagle. And this is going to shortly come to pass. And then the Assyrian Empire had the symbol of the eagle. The Grecian Empire had the symbol of the eagle. The Roman Empire had the symbol of the eagle. And the Nazi Empire had the symbol of the eagle. All of these conquered God's people in apostasy. And God said that He is the one that comes against His apostate people as an eagle. So the modern day eagle is, of course, the U.S. And as history repeats, they will conquer God's apostate people and have already been doing it overseas now for some time. Politically at home, but overseas physically. Using ISIS to march through the land over there. Yes, they did. They created ISIS along with the Saudis. And our president is a modern day leader of the greatest eagle empire. And he's doing the job God ordained him to do. And don't waste your time fighting with him. It's a wasted cause. The apostates all lost their battle with these eagle empires, and history will repeat with the United States. The ISIS troops have been brought into Europe and the United States in order to conquer the West and take down apostate Christianity. There's one thing we can do, saints. We can repent. Everybody can do their part and repent. Make it easy on yourself, right? And a civil war is going to come when Christians fight against invading radical Islamists and the administration defends them instead of us, right? And if we do not keep our covenant with the Lord, He will deliver us over to the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Our only defense is to please the Lord through repentance and faith. This is what is going to save the church. And you individually, by the way. Even if much of the church goes down the tube, you individually can repent. And God is big enough to save you. So, we're forbidden to wrestle with flesh and blood. Why does the church do it so much? Because they don't know and don't believe that they have authority over the principalities and powers when they walk in repentance and faith. They don't know it. They don't believe it. They're not taught it. Their elders don't exercise it. And they wrestle with flesh and blood because they're carnal people. Sad but true. You know, this epidemic in Europe, and by the way, it was all the way across Europe. It wasn't just in one city. Epidemic of rape and robbery. It's just amazing that they brought these people in here, and now they're not going to defend their own people. And I do believe the NSA has got the goods on some of these European leaders, and that's why they're doing this. And the Congress, too. I think they're afraid to open their mouth. Everything is known about them. And it's been made known to them. And by the way, the number of New Year's Eve rape investigations by Muslim refugees has climbed to more than 500 in just Germany, not including the other nations. So, this is a people that have no respect for humanity. So why is Europe and America being turned over, the whole West being turned over to these people, contrary to all common sense and human reasoning? Well, I'd like to bring you to some things that Dimitri Dudeman was told about what America's problem is. And it's because of our sin. It's not because of bad leaders. God gives bad leaders to people who walk in sin. That's just it. He can change that in a moment. Any moment. Any moment. So I'm going to share a portion of Dimitri Dudeman's vision. He said, it was late at night and I couldn't stay inside because of the smell, and I was sitting outside on a rock. The light came toward me. The fear of cars started coming within me because the Romanian police always followed me with cars, and that's why I jumped up. The light surrounded me, and out of the light I heard the same voice that was with me in jail and in my house in Italy. It said, Dimitri, why are you so despaired? I said, why did you punish me? What did I do that was so rotten that you brought me to the United States? I have nowhere to lie my head down upon. I can't understand anybody. He said, Dimitri, didn't I tell you that I am here with you also? I brought you here to this country because this country will burn. Then why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in my own country? This is a misunderstanding. The God is so big. He's got an angel standing next to each one of his elect. And there's nothing, like Psalm 91 says, nothing can happen to you unless you walk out from under the blood, right? So, Dimitri, have patience and I will tell you. Get beside me. I don't know what it was, brothers. I got beside the angel and he showed me all of California. He showed me all the cities of California. Then he showed me Las Vegas. You see what I have shown you? This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Notice the guilt, the fault, is the sin of the people, not their government. The government is doomed to make all kinds of mistakes, or they might even do it on purpose when you walk in sin. And he goes on to say, its sin has reached the Holy One. And he showed me another great city. He said, do you know what this city is? I said, no. He said, this is New York City. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. He showed me Florida. He said, this is Florida. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. He didn't let me say a word until he brought me back to the place that we had left. He said, now, Dimitri, you can talk to me. He said, I brought you to this country, Dimitri. I want to wake up a lot of people. I love this country. I love the people. I want to save them. America will burn. And I said, how can I save them? I can't even speak their language. Who knows me here? How will they call me? He said, don't worry. I will be ahead of you. I will make great healings amongst the American people. You will go to television stations, radio stations, and churches and tell them everything I tell you. Don't hide anything. If you try to hide anything, I will punish you. America will burn. How will America burn? It's so powerful. He said, the Russian spies have discovered where the most powerful nuclear missiles are in America. And by the way, they couldn't do that without God, could they? A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And history repeats, right? And he said, then it will start with the world calling for peace, peace. And then there will be an internal revolution in America, started by the communists. And as we know, the communists came into power. We have dreams and visions about that, and took over the White House. But this civil war, I believe, will raise up because of sin and rebellion against God's Word. Very simply, that's the only credit he gives through this whole revelation here, is to sin in the people. And in the eyes of Americans, it'll be because the Islamist invasion and the government defending it, because that's what they've been doing, you know, all over the West, defending the invaders, defending their murderous rampages and stuff, not defending their own people. Who can do that? Can you imagine who could do that? Only God could do that. It's a coup to overthrow America for Islam. Also, Americans stood by while their government overthrew other governments using radical Islam. And now we're reaping what we sowed. And the Bible says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. It's true of nations too. And then he said, some of the people will start fighting against the government. Yep. And this is exactly the wrong step. This is not what they need to do. They need to repent. Cry out to the Lord. He forgives. He grants repentance. He turns every situation around, as he said so many times. He said, the government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I cannot remember, will attack. Well, I believe one of them is China, for sure, because we've got so many dreams about that. The Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn. Okay, but we haven't gotten that far yet. And the internal revolution that's going to come because ISIS is destroying the right wing and Christianity, that's what's going to bring this, as he said. And we're, of course, entering into that now. The invasion has started. Not in the way we suspected, but it certainly has started. Invited in by our own leadership, who are just fulfilling the will of God. God works all things to the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So, and even those that are in rebellion, what does a good father do but chasten the child? Right? So, Dimitri said, what will you do with the church? He said, the church has left me. I said, how? Don't you have people here? He said, people honor people. The honor that should be given to God, they give to other people. Americans think highly of themselves. They say that I work, but they don't. In the church, there is divorce. In the church, there is adultery and fornication. In the church, there is sodomy. Yeah. In an open vision, I saw four men who God had judged and taken them out of our midst because they were secretly engaged in this sodomy. They were at the very root of the rebellion. 1 Corinthians 5 demands that we throw the leaven out. Didn't have to in this case because they all became angry with demons for nothing and left. So that was good. But we got cleaned out. God told us this was going to happen. He started telling us about 5 years before it started. And we praise God because after being cleansed by God, we've been seeing wonderful miracles in lives and etc. Healings and resurrections and all kinds of good things. God is so awesome. And He told us, He's been telling us for a long time, that He wanted to clean us up real good so we could begin a revival. He doesn't want to send people to people like the ones that were tempted and fell away. He don't want to send people to them. That would be very destructive. He's cleaning up His church. Praise be to God. Anyway, he went on to say, in the church, there is abortion and all kinds of sin. Jesus Christ doesn't live in sin. He lives in holiness. And I brought you here so you could cry out loud. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Tell them to stop sinning. God never stops forgiving. Tell them to repent. He will forgive them. Tell them to start preparing themselves so I can save them in the day of trouble. This is so true. Are you preparing yourself? Righteousness delivereth from death. It's what the Word of God says. Brothers, these aren't fairy tales, Dimitri said. I didn't come here to ask you for money. I didn't ask God for money. I came here to tell you the message of God. If you call me, God loves you. That's what the angel of God told me. Whoever I love, I want to wake up. I will put on their hearts to call you. Don't hide anything or I will punish you. Stop sinning and repent. He will forgive us. And we will have salvation. And I said, how will you save the church if America will burn? Listen to what he said. Tell them, as I tell you, just as he saved the three young men from the oven of fire. Amen. The oven that was heated seven times hotter, right? Representing the tribulation, 7 years. And Daniel from the mouth of the lion. So just as he saved the three young men, and we've received these verses too, you know, in our meetings. It's just very clear the Lord is using this to say, God will supernaturally preserve you. He said, that is how I will save them. But tell them to stop sinning and repent. Now, some people, of course, don't teach that you can stop sinning, which is totally contrary to the gospel. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you set your faith on His promises, and you know that He took away your sins, and He delivered you out of the power of darkness. You know He is the one that empowers you to walk away from sin. I have blessed this country because of the Jews that are here. And of course, we know there's two kinds of Jews here. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. We are told very plainly. He is a Jew who is one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. And he talks about the natural Jews. He says, I have 7 million Jews here. They haven't tasted war or persecution. God blessed them more than anyone else. Instead of thanking God, they started sinning and doing wickedly. Their sins have reached the Holy One. God will punish them with fire. So he started on the Christians, the church, and then he ended up with the Jews. Okay. And how is this going to come? Well, I want to share a portion of George Washington's vision of America as to how this is going to happen and what God's going to use to bring this to pass. We've already studied it a little bit. I just want to reinforce it a little. George Washington was a man of faith and prayer. The following is an account of George Washington's vision from an old soldier, Anthony Sherman, who recalled it in 1859 and gave it to Wesley Bradshaw, a writer. The vision depicted three great wars on American soil. The first was the Revolutionary War, the second was the Civil War, and the third was a war yet to come. Sherman informed Bradshaw that the vision would soon be confirmed by a second war in America. This came to pass 2 years later, when the Civil War broke out in 1861. Washington received the vision at Valley Forge in the bitter cold winter of 1777. The Revolutionary Army was facing its darkest hours and most difficult challenge. The bitter cold, disease, and starvation was on the verge of destroying their army and all hopes for independence. So Washington stated, this afternoon, as I was sitting at this table engaged in preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld, standing opposite me, a singularly beautiful female. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of her presence. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of her eyes. I wonder if she didn't represent the bride or the church. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me. I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to address her, but my tongue had become useless, as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me. All I could do was to gaze steadily, vacantly, at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed as if it had become filled with sensations and luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, the mysterious visitor herself becoming more airy and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I now began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompany dissolution. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly, at my companion. And then he begins to speak on the first peril, which was the revolution. And after that, the second peril, which was the Civil War, both of which came to pass. And then he speaks of the third peril, America's Judgment, which I want to cover a piece of. And again I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this the dark shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. That's the areas that the refugees are coming from. Even in Germany, there was a considerable number of Africans that were among the rapists and Asians. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. Well, that seems to have happened. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land, sailed by sea to America. Okay. So as I say, these are the areas where the refugees are coming from. You can say they're from Syria, but there were a lot of refugees that were in Syria that didn't belong there. And you say, but they're not coming armed. But we don't know that at all. And in France, they found arms stored in the refugee mosques. The San Bernardino attackers had a bomb factory. They obviously were preparing for much greater atrocities. This just angered them, and they decided to go out and take care of this before they did their big thing. So now they're all out there preparing for their big thing. So where did ISIS get Humvees that we see in the pictures that they ride around in, and U.S. military hardware? Well, according to Arab nations around the area there, and European leaders, they got this from the United States. And I remember reading the story of a lightly guarded military hardware stockpile that was in front of advancing ISIS troops. So the men fled and they got their weapons. And U.S. planes flown into ISIS-controlled areas with arms and food. So say the Arabs around the area. Although it's not permitted to report these things in the national press, the fact is that they will have no trouble getting weapons. I don't have to say why I know that or how it's going to happen. They just won't have any trouble when the time comes. And already they've gotten cell phones, which they use to trigger bombs, like propane tanks, which have been turned up missing, stolen. Materials for pipe bombs, all these things. What do you suppose they're going to do with those? It's not like they haven't used them in the past. And when martial law is imposed, the victims will not be able to have weapons. Isn't that something? Then knives will work. Also at this time, foreign armies with no allegiance to the people will be utilized to police them. So I'm just telling you, the outlaws are going to be the Americans. I mean, they had, 1,700 protesters were protesting against the hundreds of women that were raped over there on New Year's Eve. And guess what the government did? They dispersed them with water cannons. Amazing. Our country was enveloped in this volume of cloud, and I saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I beheld springing up. And that's just exactly like we've seen in dreams that the Islamists are going to do. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of sword, the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I heard again the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, what do you suppose would have brought about this change from God? I mean, it was very easy for him to disperse an enemy like this, spread throughout the country, for goodness sake. It was so easy. But what would have brought this? Well, it could have been those cries that they cried out. It could have been repentance. I can guarantee you there wouldn't anything change God's mind but that. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other descended from the heavens attended by legions of white spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately taking courage again closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel, for the last time, dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before. While the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people kneeling down and said, "Amen." The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I at first beheld. This also disappearing, I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. But in this greatest conflict, the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union." With these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown to me the birth, progress, and destiny of the United States. And that was the end of George Washington's vision and prophecy for the United States, as was told in his own words. I'm going to share one more with you here. It's a warning to the church in America. It's by Jonathan Hansen. He was the founder and president of World Ministries International. In 1995, he was a missionary in Africa when God called him and his family home to warn the church in America of God's coming judgment. He now has a worldwide prophetic ministry that ministers to the nations of the world. On December 24, 1995, Dr. Hansen received the following word of the Lord for America. America, America, awake out of your slumber. I will shake you. I will shake you with a shake that has never shaken you before. You flaunted yourselves above the world. You flaunted yourselves above your neighbor and your neighbors. Brother against brother, kingdom against kingdom, people against people. Has that ever happened or what? America's gone out there to start wars covertly, raising up people against people, killing people across the land. That's not what any nation should be doing. Christian against Christian in your ungodly attempt to self-glorify yourselves. Both in the church and throughout America, your leaders religiously, politically, and economically are vain, corrupt, and amoral. You are fast losing the salt, the purity that has held you together, that has made you great, if not the greatest of all nations. But I will bring you down like the wind brings down the tree, so will I bring you down. You will not escape my wrath, for it is an expression of my love, my deep love, that will do all that it can to get your attention before my eternal wrath to remove all those who do not and will not love thy neighbor will fall. Some say, many say, oh, we will escape. It will not happen to us, for we are your elect. We are God's chosen. But I say, you have blinded yourselves with your own vanity. It's true. The church really does believe in a big part, large part, that they're going to fly away. As miserable and corrupt and disobedient to the word as they are. It's just amazing how religion can blind people to what's clearly written in black and white. But that's what God is holding us to. Not what the preacher says, not what the religion says, what thus saith the Lord. My elect are not the people, the church in America, but my elect are the people of the world that are called by my name and do my will on earth as it is done in heaven. Not people with a false tongue of divination of thy heart, but of divination of my will. For you are a thankless, godless, amoral generation that has been raised by the philosophies of the heathen, and I will challenge your philosophies until you hate me and my people. My people will not escape your wrath, the wrath of the world, as some falsely teach, for only the world's wrath will open their eyes clearly to what I am saying, so that they are prepared to meet me. I am coming quickly for a people, a church without spot or wrinkle, a blood-washed, blood-soaked people who are really called Christian, not the hypocritical, self-righteous, self-taught, self-educated fool who propitiates his own dogma today. Yep, tickling ears. They want to have the ears tickled. They want to hear what they want to hear, and they want to be okay right where they are so that they can continue on in their sin. And the Lord won't permit it. And that's why all this is happening, all of it. But they are pointing the finger at God's vessels. I grant you, vessels of dishonor, but they're still God's vessels. And they're not teaching or treating these vessels the way they're commanded to. You know, remember what 1 Corinthians 5 says, that we are not to judge them that are without. Them that are without, God judges. The lost people, you cannot treat them the way you won't treat them. God says you can't judge them. They haven't been given grace to believe. They haven't been given grace to walk in your steps or God's steps. But we have been given grace. So we are the ones that are guilty if we don't obey. Not them. We are the ones that are guilty if we don't obey. He said, I will tear down the haughty, the mighty religious leader in my kingdom, in my church, who has deceived my people with your ever-babbling rhetoric that has filled the pulpits across America. Instead of my church being one, you have become institutionalized, where my true servants are not even welcome because you're protecting your own man-made philosophies and your own selfish interests. You think the people are yours, but I tell you, they are mine. And your man-made denominational institutions will fail. God, it's like the car that Merlene had a revelation of that was being taken apart. They are going to take this apart, this corrupt institutional idol apart. For I am shaking and calling the very elect to follow me, not you. Awake, awake, O Jerusalem, for the King of Glory is about to appear. And only the true elect, the glorified elect, will live in that new Jerusalem that I am preparing. Oh boy, this is that palace that we shared about. A place of safety. It is a place. It's not a geographical place, but it is a place of the people of the elect who walk in holiness and bear fruit. And it is a place of safety. It's not those tents parked out there in the field or the world, right? America, your religious leaders are vain, corrupt. Your religious leaders are vain and corrupt. Your political leaders are vain and corrupt. Your relatives are vain and corrupt. Your neighbors are vain and corrupt. A generation of heathen, those that appear to many as the elect, my chosen, yet I have not accepted them because I can see their heart. They are imitations of the genuine, a pearl in the rough. But don't give up, for I will wash you and prepare you through the fire of my love, not in the world's wrath, but my love. As a father chastens his children, so will I chasten you and tear down your sand castles, your delusions of grandeur, until you can see the kingdom again. And, of course, Jonathan Hansen has traveled the cities of America and warned of stock market collapse and nuclear attacks and civil unrest and natural disasters and tornadoes and tidal waves, etc., etc. Food shortages, water poisoning, hailstones as big as 20 pounds, red tides, great earthquakes, a powerful northwest earthquake. And he's warned concerning the things that are coming upon America and why. He talked about nuclear and biological and chemical terrorism in different cities throughout America, as well as several attacks in New York, Chicago, New Orleans, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Florida. In remote areas, there will be biological, chemical, and nuclear experimentation. In the Pacific Northwest, he said, in Casper, Wyoming, there will be a nuclear incident. In the Northwest, volcanic activity will occur. And earthquakes will come across America, just as we've been warning. So, and why is all this? Because evil men, they're just vessels. That's all they are, just vessels. God is the only sovereign. He is the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will. No one restrains his hand, nor even questions him, like, what are you doing? You know, that's what the word says. He is in control. And Father, we just ask for your grace, Lord, for the fear of the Lord to be returned so that many will turn to you and serve you and repent of their evil ways, and that you will be able to turn about the circumstances around their lives and the terrible things that are coming in America. It is obviously, Lord, as you have said over and over today, the church's fault for not being salt. The church's fault for not being holy. You would have spared Sodom for just a few righteous people, but you couldn't find them. And so, Lord, you have said this is Sodom. We believe it. We agree. Such corrupt immorality all across this nation. Gross sin. We just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you restore the fear of the Lord through everything that's happening. And we ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord, to grant grace in our hearts that we desire the things that you desire, that you would work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, that we would be disgusted with the ways of the world, that we would be a good influence on America and on the government. Obviously, Lord, if we were walking holy, as a people, we would deserve better government, and you would bless us with that. But we deserve exactly what's been happening. And Lord, we just ask you for mercy and grace, that revival may take up a lot of the slack here, Lord. We know we don't deserve revival. It would definitely be totally grace on your part. But we ask for it, Lord. We know it will change things mightily. And Lord, we know that people can be beaten into the fear of the Lord and obedience, or they can have revival in their hearts. And we ask that you grant this grace, Lord. People don't know why they're so miserable. We ask you to grant this grace so that people can live holy lives and enjoy being in your presence, and be blessed, and be a witness for you across this land. Lord, let the power return to your church. Let the anointing and the wisdom return to your church. The holiness return to your church. It's your gift to give, O Lord. So sanctify us and deliver us from evil, O Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus. We praise your holy name, that you are well able to do this for us. And Lord, we've seen all the threats that you have leveled against your people here. And we ask, Lord, that all of this be lessened because of this revival that you're going to send in our midst. And so we praise you and we thank you, our God and our mighty Savior, for granting repentance in each one of us, that we would be fit servants of yours, that we would be a witness to the heathen around us of what true Christianity looks like, what Christ looks like. Lord, we just ask it in Jesus' name. We want to be your witnesses. We want to see souls changed in Jesus' name. Amen.